The Public News Service Daily Newscast, February the 1st, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. Almost 40% of Coloradans are struggling to put food on the table because of the economic fallout of the coronavirus pandemic, the highest rate of food insecurity ever reported in the state. That's according to a new Hunger-Free Colorado survey.
Ellie Agar with the group says the rate is twice as high as during the peak of the Great Recession, with more than half of all families with children unsure where their next meal will come from. She says COVID-19 has also dramatically increased long-standing disparities in access to healthy food.
Individuals of color are disproportionately being impacted. About 50% reported they're struggling to put food on the table. And one of the big reasons is that they've seen a higher loss of income during the pandemic.
51% of Coloradans of color have lost income since the beginning of the pandemic, compared with 35% of white Coloradans. Agar says additional federal assistance will be needed to meet the scale of the crisis, but some members of Congress have opposed passing additional relief packages, citing concerns about rising national debt and uncertainty that money will go to those most in need. I'm Eric Galatas.
That same poll found that hunger is now a top concern for almost 1 in 4 Colorado households. Help is available online at cofoodfinder.org. CNN reports President Biden is open to some negotiations on his $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package, but not the $600 billion counterproposal announced by some Republican senators. The White House is reported to be specifically open to considering scaling down stimulus checks for families making more than $150,000 per year. But the administration is not considering cutting off months of unemployment insurance access or money going to schools. At-home caregivers for people with disabilities and older folks in Washington State are holding the line in budget talks with the state. We get more from Eric Teganoff.
Individual provider members of SEIU 775 are negotiating their contract for the next 2 years. They don't want to be swept up in potential budget cuts during the pandemic. Caregiver Dora Pokey says the state contracts workers for certain hours, but they often provide care around the clock, especially if they're helping out a family member.
You're limited with the hours they do contract you for, and sometimes the second job, you're not able to work out of the house because these clients that we take care of, they require that hands-on.
Lawmakers have pushed back because of the unusual budget year during the COVID-19 pandemic. The state is looking at a $3.3 billion shortfall through 2023, according to a forecast from last year.
The workers' contract expires at the end of June. This is PNS. A key advocacy group for Asian Americans in Minnesota hopes the country is turning the corner on reducing hateful rhetoric towards community members, but it says emerging plans need more detail and that diversity in government still is a big concern.
Last week, President Joe Biden signed a memorandum condemning and combating racism and xenophobia against Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders. The move directs the Justice Department to enhance efforts on data collection and reporting of hate crimes and harassment. Nick Kaur of Minnesota's Coalition of Asian American Leaders says authorities need to do a thorough breakdown when taking a closer look at the numbers.
Because the Asian American experience is so wide and diverse, clumping everyone together within the Asian American sort of like checkbox can be misleading at times.
But Kaur adds they're encouraged to see Biden condemn rhetoric such as China virus that former President Donald Trump used to describe COVID-19. I'm Mike Moen.
Meantime, many teachers in Illinois are joining a national campaign this week called Black Lives Matter at School to raise awareness about structural racism in the U.S. that's often not included in the standard curricula.
They're advancing an agenda for schools, from including more Black and ethnic studies in the curriculum to hiring more Black teachers. They also want to end zero-tolerance discipline policies and fund more counselors and social workers rather than school police officers. Dr. Monique Rideau-Smith is with the Illinois Federation of Teachers, curating race and racism lesson plans and Black History Month ideas.
Not just during this week, not just during this month, but year-round. And not just in schools that serve Black students or that serve students of color. We need to ensure that curriculum is really a mirror and also a window.
Research shows Black students who have at least one Black teacher early in life, in kindergarten through third grade, are more likely to graduate from high school and attend college. For Public News Service, I'm Lily Bolke.
Finally, Mary Sherman tells us a state-of-the-art tool is helping researchers in Indiana.
A small device known as a super gauge gathers data around the clock on water quality and the Wabash River in New Harmony. Knox County farmer Ray McCormick explains the Wabash is a primary source of nitrogen and phosphorus flowing into the Mississippi River and onto the Gulf of Mexico.
The Wabash is the biggest contributor as a percentage per acre to the Gulf hypoxia zone. The Wabash River is very pristine and it's quite the asset for our state, but the watershed that goes into the Wabash has been highly degraded.
The Wabash River Super Gauge, which cost several $1,000, was installed with funding from the Nature Conservancy, along with public and private partners. This is Mike Clifford. Thanks for starting your week with Public News Service. Member and listener supported, heard on great radio stations across the nation, and online at publicnewsservice.org.